Hey, this is Micah Tyler, and you are listening to the Radical Radiance Podcast.
Hey, friends, welcome to the Radical Radiance Podcast. I'm your host, Rebecca George, and I cannot tell you how excited I am to introduce you to our new friend, Micah Tyler. We got to talk all about his new book, his new record, the songs of his that have impacted my life. It was such a special, encouraging conversation, and I think you're really going to enjoy it as much as I did. So help me welcome Micah Tyler to the show. Micah, I am so excited to be with you today. Thank you for joining me.
Come on. I'm super stoked. It's been a wild morning, but we've made it here.
We've made it here. I cannot wait for this conversation. And I didn't know this when we picked today that this is the day of the release of your new album. And so hi, how are you? And tell us all about this new project.
You know what? I am super, it's always one of those weird things. I'm super stoked that it's out, but it's also weird that other people can hear it now because it's been living in my phone and living in, you know, my car with my family, showing them songs and between me and my co-writers. And so the fact that it's kind of like, okay, everybody gets a chance to now listen to the things that God's been really dealing with my heart about. It's both super exciting. It's very vulnerable. It's thrilling. It's all the things, but at the same time, we just get to celebrate the things that Jesus has been doing inside of my phone, and now it's in everybody else's phone today.
That's so cool. I am releasing my first book in 11 days.
Come on.
And yeah, I'm stoked about it. And in a similar way, I mean, music is totally different from writing a book, but we're going to talk about your book that you just released. So yeah. I'm so excited to talk about that journey. But in a similar way, it's been so fun and also vulnerable to begin to see people post on their stories of how God's used, you know, your words or a specific quote from the book or whatever. And you think like, maybe sometimes I think, man, well, that was just the Holy Spirit because I don't even remember writing that.
Sure.
And in other moments, it's like, man, wow, that actually came from a deep place of struggle in my own life. So it's just really cool to begin to have those moments. So I love that. Well, I am so excited to dig into your story a little bit. I remember reading, and I love this part of your story, and I think our listeners will too, of when God made it so clear to you that you were supposed to pursue music, and kind of early on in your career. I was so encouraged by that part of your story, and we love having conversations around here about what does it look like to use our gifts and talents for the glory of God.
Yeah.
And so for somebody who's listening and senses God is leading them to take maybe what feels like a big step of faith, I just want you to share a little bit of your story to encourage them.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny because like what you said, you know, God made it like abundantly clear to us. It wasn't externally clear, but it was internally clear. And I think that's a hard struggle.
Totally.
Sometimes God invites us to things that we cannot see with our eyes, but that we know that the next step is just important to take towards him in that direction. The way I always look at it is if you're on that fence right now, and you're still thinking about it. Someone told me this a while back. God will never look at me one day whenever this life is over with and say, well done, that good and successful singer, songwriter, author, you know, podcast guest, musician. It's not that thing. Success is not what our life is built to be, because if we build our life on successes, then when we're failures, then we've missed everything. And then we're not good enough. And there's nothing we can do to make it better.
Yeah.
But if one day he looks at us and says, well done, that good and faithful servant, that just means that whatever he put in front of me, I was faithful to, because the only thing I can be faithful to is what he puts in front of me. And so 12 years ago, fast forward a little farther than that, 20 years ago, when I was 18 years old, graduated from high school, felt called to go into ministry when I was 17, wanted to be a youth pastor, had a youth pastor make a big impact in my life. There was a little country church across the street from where I grew up, and they needed a youth pastor. They had seven kids in the youth group. They needed somebody to watch those kids, and I was like, I'll feed them some pizza if you want me to.
That's right.
So I took the job, did youth ministry for 9 years. In the process of that, I married my high school sweetheart. We started a family. But when I was 20, our little youth group had grown. We had seven kids we started. It grew to about 30, 35 kids. And I was going like, man, this is a pretty good sized group. We need to do something to make this like, you know, special for them on Wednesday nights. Like, what can I do? And I thought, oh, I know. I see other youth groups have like kids in the youth group who play a guitar and like sing a few songs. I'll buy a guitar. One of these kids will learn to play it. So I bought a little cheap guitar, brought it in the youth room. Those kids could not have been less interested in messing with that guitar. So I thought, man, I spent a little pizza budget on this. I should probably learn to play a few songs. So so I literally learned Open the Eyes of My Heart, and I played it every Wednesday until they told me, hey, can you learn another one? Like, can you just play one more song?
We've had enough.
I told them, I was like, my fingers hurt already, and I just give me some time. I guess I'll figure out another one. So anyways, just started learning more and more songs, and it turned into me leading worship for our group and writing songs, went along my sermons, like little funny songs or maybe some serious little lines here and there, but like just whatever it took to kind of get the gospel forward and our messages and stuff. And then I had other friends who started calling me and saying like, hey, and it's not because they thought I was great, it's because I was cheap. And they're like, hey, can you come lead worship for our group? Because we can't afford to bring in like a real band. So all of a sudden I felt like I was the Pinocchio of worship leaders. So I want to be a real boy too, you know what I'm saying? And so I just started leading worship for groups and like doing camps, stuff like that. And then all of a sudden at 27, been doing youth ministry for 9 years, had a wife and two kids at the time. All of a sudden the Lord, he did not have a tour bus pull up to my front yard. There wasn't a record deal involved. I didn't know anyone in Nashville. There's nothing like that. But God changed what faithfulness in my heart looked like. All of a sudden, the things that were lighting up in me of this faithfulness towards youth ministry and music being this fringe thing that was just kind of part of my youth ministry, all of a sudden, it just kind of felt like if I am not faithful to music in a way that is making it the main goal of my ministerial time, that I'm not being faithful completely. And so I went to my wife, who is the most incredible, understanding, amazing person, couldn't do anything without her. And all of a sudden she said the same thing. Like she said, do you feel like God's changing what music looks like in our hearts? And I said, oh my gosh, this is so scary. And again, all of a sudden there wasn't just a voice from heaven and a dove landed on my shoulder and said, here's the way, the truth, and the path that we're going to take in music. We just felt like we had to be faithful. So what faithfulness looked like, and I remember telling Jesus and said, I don't know how to be a musician, but you've taught me how to be faithful. So I'm just going to do everything that I know to be faithful to what you're putting in front of me. So we ended up selling over half of what we owned. We bought a single wide mobile home trailer, put it on some borrowed land that someone gave us. And I started doing odd jobs. I was an elementary school substitute teacher because my wife is a teacher at the time. So they got me a job at the school. And I also drove a sausage delivery truck. And so I was I was doing that a couple of days a week, waking up at 2:45 in the morning and loading up a truck and taking it around Southeast Texas in a truck that had no radio, so I couldn't even like listen to inspiration or anything like that.
That's right.
It was just me and the Lord alone in a truck for 11 hours a day. Just me constantly going like, hey, what are we doing right now? And so fast forward 12 years later and I'm sitting here talking to you. There's a lot of fast forward in there, but at the same time, today I woke up today and I had to make the decision. God, I cannot just rest on what I was faithful to yesterday. I cannot be looking forward to something that maybe is an exciting thing or something that's a scary thing or whatever and try to be faithful to that thing. Today, I woke up and I said, God, whatever you put in front of me today, which is sitting with you and talking to you, I want to be faithful to that. I want to be faithful to releasing a record. I want to be faithful to the show that we're going to have in Chicago. But like, I'm still trying to do the same thing. I'm not trying to be successful today. I'm trying to be faithful. So it's been 12 years of doing that with 9 years of youth ministry before that. And God's been so kind to the process, the whole thing.
I love this story so much. And as you're talking, you almost said this quote in a sense. There's a quote in my new book that releases here in a week or so that says, the outcome is his, but the obedience, the faithful next step of obedience, that's on us. We are not responsible for the outcome. And I think that's what, as like an achiever-minded girl, that's something that's been a struggle in my own life of feeling like it's all on me or up to me when God maybe put something that feels big and scary on my heart. And that remembrance of, man, my job at the end of the day, at the end of all this, is was I faithful, right? Yeah. Like the outcome is his, but the obedient next step, that's on me. Right.
I absolutely love that. And here's the deal. It's important to remember the things that God has been calling us to be faithful to in the past. Like it's not this whole thing of like, don't even think about yesterday. Don't think about tomorrow. The Bible says don't worry about tomorrow, but also we can't be joyful about tomorrow because we don't know if tomorrow's going to come. But it's important for us. It's okay to set goals. There's some people who are like, I gotta really be goal-minded. Those are awesome things. But if our goals are hinged on our achievements, then at a certain point, when we don't hit the mark, if you're trying to lose weight and you step on the scale and you gained a pound, you're not a complete and utter failure. That's not what that means. The results don't always dictate if you are being faithful or not. It can jack with our success. But at the same time, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many, as it says in the gospel. And like Jesus is saying, like, my job is not like to see how many people can tell me how great I am. It's me lowering myself to try and bring service and bring care and faithfulness to the things around me. So again, at the end of the day, I don't want my kids one day to be like, my dad was so successful. I want my kids to say about me, dad was faithful. Dad really loved Jesus and was trying to be faithful to him and the people around him.
So good. Okay. As I think back on when I learned about you, when I started listening to your music, the song Different is the first song that I remember from you, which is probably the case for many of our friends, right?
Yeah.
And I remember way back in the day hearing the story behind Different, and it's so special. Would you share a little bit of that with us?
Yeah. So Different has two lines about it. Do you move back?
Yeah.
So the song Different had two different lines. Line number one was me writing it out of Psalm 139. Which says, you know, that we are uniquely and wonderfully made. Well, the first half of that, the uniquely part, I thought was a punishment for a long time. I really thought that God, like when I was a teenager, I had a bully that I just absolutely hated. And he tortured me every day. Couldn't get away from him. I felt like that he nitpicked every single part of my life, and he lived inside of my mirror. It was 100% me every morning looking in. In fact, I don't share this story often, but I think it's, you know, it feels like it's important to say. So when I got home from school, my sophomore year of high school, I was battling depression. And I remember my parents were awesome, loving parents, loved the Lord, did nothing wrong. They just, I just was a kid who the enemy was telling me, you got to keep this to yourself because it's embarrassing that you hate yourself so much. And I would come home from school every day and my parents would say, how was your day? And I said, it's going back. It's a good day at school, which was a lie. I go inside my room, close the door, I lay on my back, I look at the ceiling. And our house was built in the 70s. And so on the ceiling were these big circles. Like when the sheetrock was so wet, they would press these things and they'd spin these circles and it had these little grooves in it. And the little grooves, it like a big circle and a smaller circle, it looked kind of like a record, which for your younger listeners, it's like a big CD. But it's all these little circles that all go all the way to the middle where there's just a tiny, tiny circle in the middle. And I would start counting all the reasons I hated myself that day with each line. So I'd start with the outside ring and be like, yeah, when I got out of my truck this morning, I was walking towards my friends. I tripped. I'm so clumsy. That's one. And then I went up and said, hey, to five people. And three of them said, hey, back. And two of them may not have heard me, but it's probably because they don't like me. And I get it because I don't like me either. That's two. I raised my hand in math class. And I got the question wrong because I'm stupid. That's three. And I could, and I could tell you how bad of a day I had, about how close I got to the bullseye circle in the middle of that ring. And a lot of days I was hitting, I mean, just bullseye every day. But I remember a youth pastor stepping in and teaching me about how Jesus does not make junk. Jesus does not make he does not make a mess. We can make a mess of our lives, but he's always there to restore and to remind us of how loved we truly are. Because, you know, what is it? Romans 5:8 that says, God demonstrates his great love in this way, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So I knew that in the middle of me being in this complete disarray internally, that he holds all things together and can put all things back together. And I just remember just saying, like, God, can you change my heart? Can you change me? So fast forward 12, 13 years later, I'm in the early 30s. We're doing this music thing independently. And I started strumming around the guitar. And I remember thinking, I still compared myself to other people. I still would look in the mirror and be able to find all the flaws and all the reasons why I wasn't enough that day. And I said, Jesus, I just want you to make me look more like you. I don't want to compare myself to these other people, whether it's my job status or how my, you know, how my songs are performing or how well I sing or don't sing. I don't want to compare myself to other people. I just want my life to be a reflection of who you are in me. So that's why so the song Different was originally birthed out of that. And then we wrote the song, we put it out, and then all of a sudden we went through some pretty crazy stuff as a family. Within a probably 2-month span, my grandmother got diagnosed with blood cancer. Which they said, hey, she's gonna go through treatment, she'll lose her hair, she's gonna be weak, but she'll get through this thing. We're going, okay, we can take this one step at a time. God, we know you can heal. We're gonna walk alongside of this. And before my grandmother even started losing her hair, Hurricane Harvey dropped over 40 inches of rain on my house in just a few days. And we're living in that little mobile home, that little single wide mobile home trailer. And the good news is that when you're living in a mobile home, you have a 3 foot head start from floodwaters because you're off the ground.
That's true.
The bad news is, though, is that it doesn't take much for the water to wash out your foundation underneath. So this little house started to bend and break, and we had holes developing in the floors. We had to replace 4 rooms in that house because the foundation was so messed up, and it started like literally breaking our house apart. And then just a few weeks after that storm, my younger brother Daniel was diagnosed with stage 4 colon cancer. It had moved from his colon into his liver and his stomach lining. It was in his lungs. It was all over his body. They gave him 2 years to live. And I just remember saying, God, I don't understand so much of what's happening right now. Because at the same time that I'm going out and I'm telling people, my first single was Never Been a Moment. There's never been a moment that I was not loved by you. And I'm going, God, I'm telling you, there's never been a moment that you've not been with all these other people. But my moments, moment by moment, I'm just hurting so much. Yeah. And I remember just praying like, God, can you stop this hurricane in the middle of the hurricane? Can you stop this cancer? Mm. And God was so kind to remind me that he has the ability to say, peace be still, and the storm will stop. He has the ability to, there's healing in the name of Jesus. And I truly believe those things, but he also has the power to say no to that first question, because he desires us to come to him with a second question that he 100% can say yes to, which is, God, if you won't change my circumstances, can you change me so that I can handle these things that you're walking me through? Mm. And all of a sudden, my song Different was rebirthed in my own heart. And I started singing, I want to be different. I want to be changed. So all of me is gone, and all that remains is the fire so bright the whole world can see. So come and be different. Come and be different in me. And I started going, Jesus, just change me. Today, it's not change my perception of myself. It's literally change my DNA from the inside, so that no matter what the storm is that we're walking through, I know I'm not walking through it by myself. I know I'm not walking through it as someone who's built for this world. I want to walk through it as something who is built for another world, for a complete glory that I can't see right now, but trusting that you are holding all things together the way that you did when I was 16, the way that you did whenever I was 18 becoming a youth pastor, when I was 20 picking up a guitar, when I was 27 selling everything we owned, whenever I was, you know, everything, the whole thing. To look back and just see that there's never been a moment that he's not loved me, and that there's not been a moment that he is not either changing my circumstances or changing me.
Psst. Did you know that my debut book, Do the Thing, Gospel-Centered Goals, Gumption, and Grace for the Go-Getter Girl, is available wherever you like to buy books? I wrote it just for you, friend. So if you are ready to see your gifts and talents from a gospel-centered perspective, prioritize goals related to your calling as you move forward with gumption and grace, maximize your passions in the work you do every day, actively partner with God to serve him and love others, and overcome negative thought patterns so you can brainstorm, develop, and create with the confidence of a go-getter girl. If that sounds like you, then I want you to order today at the link in the show notes below. Each chapter includes prayer prompts, scripture for further study, questions for reflection, action steps to move your goal forward, and accompanying videos for individual or small group discussion. So grab a friend or 12 and let's use God's word as our compass to do the thing. After all, if not now, when? One of my greatest joys is having the opportunity to come share God's word at women's events, retreats, and conferences. I'm booking speaking engagements for this year and next year, and would love to chat with you about your church's next event. Shoot me an email at hello@radicalradiance.live to start a conversation today. Yeah, man, that's so good. As you're talking through that story, it's reminding me of a season of my life. About 10 years ago, my mom went through breast cancer, and praise God, we're 10 years on the other side of that. Yeah. And I remember after she got diagnosed, it was sort of a mountaintop season for me. I was in my first big girl job out of college, and everything was going well. And I really hadn't experienced anything that just totally shook the foundation that I had kind of been standing on. Yeah. And, really tested, you know, a lot of the truths that you just mentioned. And I remember sharing, it was actually a She Reads Truth devotional back when all they really used to do, well, not all, I mean, they did a lot of things, but they would send out their daily devotional in an email.
Yeah.
And which they probably still do. But anyway, I forwarded one of them to my mom, and I remember her calling me at work, which was odd. And she said, I know you just forwarded that to me just because it, something about it spoke to you, and you know, you probably moved on with your morning, but God just really used this passage at the top of that devotional. And you know, when you walk through things like cancer or some of the hard things that, you know, we both have walked through, people give you all the advice and all of the, here's how God moved in my own story when I walked through this. And mom said, so many people have shared, oh, this was my verse, right? Like in my journey with X, Y, or Z. And she said, I just have been asking God, like, would you give me mine? Right? Yeah. Like I love these truths and these scriptures people have shared, but at the top of that devotional was Romans 8:18, which says, for I consider that the present sufferings of this life aren't worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in 100%. Us. And that's it, right? Like he is with us when we walk through those seasons, and it doesn't compare to the glory that shall come, that is only God's on the other side of that suffering that molds and refines us more into the likeness of Jesus.
I trust Jesus right now more because of hurricanes and cancer than I did before. And that's a hard truth. What I'm learning is the longer that I walk with Jesus, the more I get to see things from his point of view, right? And I'm learning there's just very few times that both of my feet are on top of the mountain. I cannot tell you how many times I've got a foot on the mountain and I got a foot in the valley simultaneously. And what a gift that no matter what comes our way, we always have Jesus. Like, I don't know how people do it without him. I really don't. Because I'm just telling you, whenever the fact that he promises to draw near the brokenhearted as a person whose heart has been shattered, I know that he draws near. And so the promise of his healing, the promise of him to say, peace be still in a storm, is such a powerful testament. But the thing is, he still can heal through suffering. In the midst of suffering, we can be healing, even though our physical bodies may not be able to hold up to what the healing standard that we think it is. And he has the ability to stop it. Like,
sure.
Fast forward, my brother goes through chemo. They gave him 2 years to live. So you'd never have children anymore after this. He had one son and his wife. And like I said, just were faithful. He was a youth pastor. So he's getting chemo treatments on a Tuesday. They strapped a pack to him on Wednesday night. He preaches a sermon for his youth group with chemo running through his body. Thursday, they take it off of him. He did this every 2 weeks for months and never stopped his life. Never just said, you know what? They've only given me 2 years. I'm going to do it just doing selfishly things that I want to do. He still is continually giving. His body is broken out in these crazy rashes. He's losing hair and all this stuff's happening. And he is just faithfully serving over and over again. And on the other side of it, they had an exploratory surgery, October of 2018, sorry. And they were like, we're going to go in there and just see how much we can get. Maybe we can lengthen your life by a few months or whatever. And they go inside. They cut an 18-inch incision, look inside, and they can't find any more cancer. They don't see anymore. Gosh. And they're like, we don't know how to explain this. We can't put the word miracle on a chart. We have no idea how you have not lost fingers and toes, because at this point, that's what should be happening to you. And they're like, but, you know what? You're cancer free. They said, but you'll still never be able to have children. And then 4 months later, they find out they were pregnant with my niece, Ava, who's now 3 years old. Because God is not just in the enough game. God knows that he is abundantly, exceedingly with his riches and with his mercies and with his joys. And so even if Daniel would have just lived out those 2 years and it would have been over with, because guess what? The cancer came back a year later. They went into the surgery, got rid of the cancer. He is now literally on his third battle with cancer. I was in cancer treatments with him about a month ago, sitting there as he put on a pack and went and preached a message for his youth group that night. And it's, again, just faithful, being faithful, not about successes, being faithful to what God's doing. Because anytime that we have this foot planted firmly in the valley, there's always a mountain for us to rest upon in literally just knowing that Jesus is there too.
That's right. That's right. Okay. His name is Daniel. Yes. Okay. So all of our people will be praying for Daniel in the days and weeks to come. So know that. And man, that's just such a beautiful story of the faithfulness of God in the midst of hard circumstances, which we all walk through. And I'm so thankful for that. And this is such a good lead in to your book, which recently came out. It's called Walking Free, Taking Small Steps Toward a Big God. I would love, and you've shared so much goodness related to this already, but what spurred that idea of this message for you, and what does it look like as we begin to pursue that deeper relationship with Jesus, despite, like you just said, what we're walking through in external circumstances?
Yeah, I think a lot of times as a believer, we love point A to point B. We love to know where we're going. We love to have a goal of where we're trying to get to. And it's like, all right, Lord, I need to get to that other side over there. And so this book is my, book is my commitment to the next thing in front of me, being faithful day by day. So, you know, you read a lot of devotionals. It's like day one, day two, day three, it goes that way. And I was like, okay, so if we're going to walk in the freedom of Jesus, if we're going to really seek out and not just think about, because here's the deal, point B is heaven, okay? And there's a lot of space between point A and point B. You can look at that as like point Q way out there, whatever you want to call it. So, but the thing is, our life is not built on point A to point B. Our life is built on one step at a time, faithfully walking with, knowing that he is the firm foundation underneath, knowing that he is watching over every step, knowing that he is surrounding every move that we make, and that he is filling every single moment that we have with his faithfulness, with his love and his mercy and grace. And so I wrote a song called Walking Free a couple of years ago, and it's been on Christian radio, and it was super impactful to me when we wrote it. And then we made a music video that really kind of, it highlighted a ministry that I work with called Ground 40 over in North Carolina, where they take in men who just need to be rehabilitated, whether that is drugs, incarceration, homelessness, like whatever that is. And they take them in and they show them how the gospel of Jesus will walk through every day with them. And so I ended up becoming really good friends with them. We've highlighted this ministry in the video, which is super cool. And then all of a sudden the stories just start pouring in from people talking about how God's freedom has met them in all these different places. And so, you know, as a songwriter, a little bit different than writing a book, a songwriter, I'm trying to be very targeted and succinct with my message because I've got 3.5 minutes. I got 3.5 minutes to tackle the freedom of walking with Jesus and try to boil that down into some really defined thesis statements, right? Because I sure wish that I could sing for an hour and a half. It'd be a lot easier for me just to like rattle off everything I can think of.
Totally.
But we've got to be like cutting to the quick, very, very quickly. And so when it came to the freedom of God, it's like, okay, what can we talk about walking in that freedom? So the song comes out, the stories start pouring in, and I just realized, man, God is really walking with people in, not in different directions, but they're walking from different places. Some people are walking from a really deep hurt. Some people are walking in a really joyous moment. Like you're talking about, like, I mean, there have been steps that I've taken where it's easy to trust Jesus. Brothers, cancer free, the house is put back together. That's a bold step right there. I'm going like, okay, this is good. But it's that moment when we have to believe that we're just in the depths of the pain and the hurt, that it's going like, God, this next step feels like I've got 2-ton weights attached to my ankles right now. Like, what are we going to do? So the book kind of came out of me going, there's just a lot more to talk about than 3.5 minutes. And so I decided to devote a couple hundred pages instead to it. And it's been really neat for me as a writer, just going like, okay, so I don't have to, like, I'm not worrying about people saying, like, hey, don't bore us and get to the chorus. I'm going, like, hey, we get to really stretch our legs a little bit on these ideas, which was super, super exciting and really weird for me, honestly, to be able to go, hey, I can make this more than just one line. I can give a full chapter to this idea and stuff. So, but it was really special getting to write it. And what came out of it, I feel like, is this, really, I just get to cheer people on one step at a time, which is super, super special. Yeah. And also just testify to, hey, this step was really hard for me, but gosh, it was worth it because I walked it with Jesus.
Wow. That's beautiful. I love that so much. Well, in my own story, there's one more song that I just have to share with you how God has used it as an encouragement to me and my husband. So we're new friends, so you don't know this part of our story, but we got married in 2019. My husband is a lead pastor. So we didn't grow up in ministry together, right? Like, we weren't like the youth pastor couple that then moved on to the associate pastor and then became a lead pastor. So I'm married into a lead pastor, right? And so all the way in. And the first 3.5 years or so of our marriage, all the way through COVID, we were in a little town in South Mississippi called Brookhaven. And throughout that time, we really sensed that eventually God would call us back to East Tennessee, which is where we both would call home. And probably late 2021, we really just sensed that so strongly. And I'm trying to remember when My God Fights For Me came out.
Oh, come on.
I don't remember.
That song has had three different versions. One came out in 2014. Okay. One came out in, my record came out in 2020 with the newest version. It was around 2020, 2021 is when it kind of came out.
Okay. So yeah. So I was very, I had certainly listened to it, loved the song. And one day somebody shared it with my husband and he sent it to me and he said, man, somebody sent me this morning. And I've been listening to it today and it's been such an encouragement. And we sort of walked through this journey for probably, 8 to 10 months of just trusting the Lord with our next steps and is this the right opportunity? And I mean, you've been in ministry work within the local church. So you know how long those processes 100%. Can be. And so it was about a year of just really like, okay, Lord, our hands are open and we know that you are ahead of this and you are in control. And probably daily one of us would listen to that song, if not both of us. Just like in the car on our commutes, like it was on, you know, the worship playlist that we would just like keep going back to. And so I know that probably feels special when you get to hear, like, here's how God used that specific encouragement to meet us in this particular circumstance. I know as a writer, I experience that, but that has to be so special as a songwriter.
Well, and here's where it's fun for me is that writing the book, I realized that I was able, when I write music, I have two rules when I'm writing songs.
Okay.
And I was able to apply the exact same two writing rules to writing the book. For me, rule number one, anything that I write, whether it be a song or a page in a book, I am lining up with scripture. There's no sense in me talking about anything that doesn't line up with God's word, because if it's been said by him, it is important enough for me to say, and it's really dangerous for me to go outside the lines on that one, right? So every song that I ever sing into a microphone that you ever hear come through a car speaker or through your phone or whatever has been vetted through scripture, because it's important. I mean, that's the most important thing to me. But rule number two, I want every song and every page of a book to feel like a time capsule. I may not be able to tell you what I had for lunch the day that I wrote My God Fights For Me, or what shoes I was wearing the day that I wrote Different, or, you know, how my day was going, what day of the week it was when I wrote, you know, whatever, fill in the blank song or page. But I can tell you what God was doing in my heart. And I can tell you where God was at in my life and in my midst on that day. And so when people do say things like, hey, this song really affected me, or this chapter really affected me, it's very personal for me, because number one, we line up with scripture. So I know that it's something good being worth said. But then also it's like, yeah, you know what? I feel that way too. My God Fights For Me came out of, again, I'm really, really good. That sounds super prideful. It's way easier. I'm an Enneagram 2. So I'm a helper. I want to help people. I want to serve people.
I can see that.
I want to cheer people on. Like that's where I get my energy from. Right. So go and make disciples in the Bible. Let's go. Point me in a direction.
Yeah.
Give me a mission. Tell me someone to help out. That's great. Be still and know that I'm God is a hard one for me, because I find my worth and my value in what I can do for other people. It's very hard for me to feel valued when I'm sitting still. So to know that God loves me and values me and cares for me, I can't work hard enough where he can be more proud of me. I'm in the middle of a weight loss journey right now. I've lost 113 pounds over the last 10
That's
years.
Incredible. But
yeah, I'm so hungry. but in the midst of that, when I stepped on the scale and I'd lost 100 pounds, I think I thought that God was going to be more proud of me and love me more on that day and find more value in me. And it was such a heartbreak / one of the best feelings in the world to know that it the scale does not dictate the love of God. The achievements that I can have, wow. the successes that I have, do not make him go, now I really love you because you did something really great. God loved the guy 113 pounds ago just as much as he does me right now. He loves me completely and fully. There's no reservation of his love for whenever we get better at something. So being still, he loves me just as much, and he fights my battles for me when I'm still. All we need to do is sit back and watch. So my God fights for me. It's us taking stories from the Bible, God's word, where God took situations that looked dire, and he just fought the battle for them. And he fights the same battle for us right now. It doesn't matter if we're in the lion's den, if we are standing up against a giant, whatever that is. All we need to do is be still, know that he is God, and he fights our battles on our behalf. And something that has been of great value to me in writing this book is that, again, I got to apply the same two songwriting rules to writing the page of this book. And so when somebody tells me that, and it also has spurned me on to share my hurts. I hate talking about cancer and hurricanes. That's not a fun part of my story. But what I've learned is the more times that I talk about those things, the more people that meet me at a merch table or that send me a message or they tell me a story of, I hurt that way too. And I realize that God has not built us to walk alone. God has built us to walk in community. So in this book, I share the deepest, darkest moments of my story and my life, but also how scripture reminds me that God is so faithful to stand near us, whether we are going and making disciples or that we are being still and knowing that he's God, that he is so loving and so kind and rich in mercy and abundant in grace and faithful to walk alongside of us and drawing near the brokenhearted. So I feel like that it doesn't matter where you're at in the journey right now, where God is working in your heart right now, he is still calling us to go out and make disciples. But right now in your stillness, sitting here listening to this podcast, God is completely all in on you right now. He is for you, and he is fighting battles, whether you see it or not.
That's so good. I had a conversation with a friend the other day that's walking through a hard situation, and we just came back to something had happened that just brought her back to the truth of, like, God is always working on our behalf.
Absolutely.
God is always at work on our behalf. And she said, I was so challenged at the number of times that I live as if that's not true.
Well, it goes back to the first thing we were talking about, where it's like, God gave you a clear picture of what you're supposed to do internally. Externally, I'm in Buna, Texas. I still live there. There are no roads that lead from Buna, Texas to Nashville, Tennessee, at least not paved ones. Okay. And so I'm going like, God, what? You're walking me up to the edge of woods and going like, Here's the road. Like, what? How does that even work? But at the same time, he still can give us a peace beyond our own understanding, because it's not about what we understand and how we understand it to be. So don't wait for all your circumstances to shift. Be open and available to say, God, in the midst of whatever I'm walking through right now, you are faithful to change me. You are faithful to build inside of me things that I can't see you building outside of me just yet. But I know that you're still at work, whether you're at work with what my eyes can see or you are fighting battles inside of my chest right now. I trust that you are faithful to build, and that you are faithful to work, and that you are faithful to find, and that you're faithful to draw near me right now.
So good. Okay, there is a question that I ask every guest that comes on the Radical Radiance podcast. And as I was naming this show, God continually kept putting this verse on my heart. It's Psalm 34, verse 5. It says, those who look to him are radiant, and their faces are never covered in shame. And the question I love asking is, in this season of your life, what about Jesus makes you radiant?
That's great. You know what? I when I hear the word radiate, I think of light. And the times where light stands out the most is when it's dark. And can I just tell you, I love light so much. I love walking in the light so much more. I don't like walking through the woods at night. I'd rather walk through the woods during the day. But I feel like that the times where God is able to show himself the most in my life is when things are darkest around me. And so we're walking through the third battle of cancer right now. I'm out on the road celebrating a book, celebrating a record, and missing my wife and three kids like crazy right now. But I do know that whenever I am able to shout all the more of the faithfulness of God when things really are hard, but knowing that He has given me this resolve, it's the time where more people gather near and want to walk in that light as well. Again, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life as a ransom for many. In the Gospels, it also says, whenever I am lifted up, I will draw men to myself. So it's not about me lifting up a book or lifting up a record or lifting up my name or lifting up my achievements. It's me saying, Jesus, if I can hold you up the highest, the light reaches into the darkness a whole lot more. It doesn't matter if my arms are hurting, like Moses having to be propped up so he can hold up and just hold so that they can continue on in the battle they're in, right? But it's about me just saying, Jesus, whatever that looks like today, I'm going to be faithful to what you put in front of me. And that faithfulness shines a light into a darkness like nothing else can.
That's awesome. I love that. Well, I want you to share with everybody, where can they find you on tour? Where can they go grab the new album, the book, all of those things?
So the easy, MicahTaylor.com is kind of a nice little hub right there because it points you to all my social medias. You can get a link to the book and the record and all the things like that. I'm on all the social media things. So Micah Tyler, I'm out there. At Micah Tyler Music is typically all my social media things. But yeah, Facebook, Instagram, I pop on Twitter every once in a while. I'm horrible at social media. Like, I'm not good at all. So just expect to see like concert footage and my family. Like, that's kind of where I'm kind of hanging
that's
out.
Right.
I'm kind of an old man on social media and stuff. But at the same time, you know, it's exciting. We took the fall off of last year from touring. First time I've not toured a season aside from COVID in like 7 years. But it's because we were working hard on the book. We were working hard on the new record. We were working hard on putting together this tour. I'm on tour right now with Mercy Me and Taya,
so
which is
fun.
So fun. So we're popping in cities all over the place. And those dates are on the website as well. But we're kind of getting a chance that right now, like we kind of were the gatherer during the summer months there for an ant. We're kind of like getting to harvest everything up right now. Like, we're going to get to see everything happen. So like, it's been really fun to celebrate these things with people. And so, yeah, I can't wait to see. I love seeing people at shows and being able to sign the books and hear the stories of how God's working through these steps with them. So I'm kind of out there, here, there, and everywhere. And so it's not too hard to find me.
Awesome. Good deal. Well, I'm so grateful for you and glad that we got to have this conversation. And it's so fun to meet you after how long I've listened to your music. And I'm so excited about your book and just grateful that we got to have this episode.
Same here.
So thank you so much.
Anytime. Hopefully I will not be scurrying from one bus to another in the middle of the night and we'll have a little more of a controlled environment. But hey, thanks for being patient with me. And this was a blast getting to talk. Thanks so much for having me today.
I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Micah as much as I did. Go grab a copy of his book and check out his tour dates to see if one of them is coming near you. And I just can't wait to join you next time for another amazing episode that we'll release next Tuesday. And I'll see you then.